Thank you for joining us today at LifePoint Church. We believe Sundays are an opportunity to know God. For more information, including locations, service times, and small groups, please visit our website at lifepointchurch.tv. Let's jump into the message.
What's up, LifePoint Church? How y'all doing today? Come on, can we give it up for Jesus Christ, everybody, our risen Savior? We love the Lord. Praise God. Hey, welcome to LifePoint, everybody, and it's so good to be with all of you, especially if this is your first time or maybe your second week. You came on Easter, and now you're back with us today. We want to say a big welcome to all of our guests, also everyone joining us at our Austin Peay campus as well as online, and those of you that are sitting in our lobby today, we want to say a big welcome to you. Can we say hello to our whole church family, everybody? Say hello to our guests and those joining online. Praise the Lord. If you're new with us, my name's Mike Burnett. My wife and I get to serve here as pastors, my wife Stephanie, and we're so honored to have you. Hey, I just want to jump right into some things because we've got, I have an exciting friend I wanted you to hear from for a few minutes today before I preach, but I just want to thank you for being a generous church, everybody. Thank you for tithing, for giving offerings. And I want to encourage you, if this is your home church, that you would prayerfully consider just stepping into obedience in this area of tithing and giving. In fact, it's the plan of God. It's scripture teaches us that we give to the Lord through our local church, and not that other giving isn't a blessing or an honor to God, but we bring our tithe to our home church. And listen, you can do that however you want through our app, our website, through the mail. We have boxes in the lobby, or you can bring a bag of nickels by a stork. I don't really know how you want to do it, but that's a different way to tithe, isn't it, everybody? That's just different. Training your stork is the hardest part. But anyway, I just want to thank you for your generosity. And let me tell you again where your generosity is going. We have some great partners all the way around the world in Nepal and Indonesia and places in the Middle East and Latin America and Central America. We are planting churches, doing ministry there through our missions partners all the way back here to Clarksville, Tennessee, and everywhere in between. I just want to let you know, we tithe 10% of the income of this church and then some to our missions partners. That's how we give to missions. A lot of people ask, you know, how do you give and how much is given to each missionary? That is very well curated. We have a whole system for that. But we give monthly to our missions partners, and it's from the tithe of what you give. And last year, we were actually able to give closer to 15% of your income away. And let me just tell you what some of the things that you've gotten to help be a part of. You know, I could give a bunch of stats around the world, but just in the last 3 months, just since the beginning of this year, your giving has helped plant 17 new churches in the United States, and including revitalizing a church on Long Island that we get to be a part of. In fact, two of our pastors are up there today, and they're introducing our growth track to that church on Long Island, which is exciting. Through your partnership giving to the Hope Pregnancy Center, I reached out to Martha this week, and I said, hey, how's it going this year so far? Since January of this year, you have helped 41 babies be rescued from the thought of abortion, and they're gonna be born. And come on, man, you're saving lives, everybody. That's amazing. That's amazing. So you've helped 41 pregnant ladies who needed care at the Hope Pregnancy Center. You've been a part of helping feed over 500,000 children every day through our partnership with Convoy of Hope, and that's all throughout the developing world. I just want to let you know, like, your giving goes beyond here. We have a lot of things that we're doing here. We're building a new campus on Tiny Town. We're expanding the reach of our church, but we're also blessing the ministries that make sense for us to partner with. Amen, everyone. Yay, Pack Outreach. I mean, we just got a lot of great partners, Loaves and Fishes. Today, just for the next little bit, I wanted you to hear from one of our longtime ministry partners. He's in the room with us today, and I've invited him to come and just share with you what's going on. 20 years ago, actually over 20 years ago, in 2005, I met my friend Mike on the softball field in Springfield, Missouri, and we would be leaning on the fence talking about ministry and visions and then go hit home runs and then come back and talk about, it's just a hard life. Anyway, one of the first missionaries we ever supported, and we have had many of you join him in Vegas doing field work to help find young women and children. I told you a couple weeks ago we were able to help rescue 16 young women and children at the Super Bowl, and that's because of the work of Free International. Listen, I want you to hear a few minutes from our great partner, our friend, a brother in the faith. He is fighting the fight against human trafficking and forced prostitution. The founder and president, our partner of Free International, Mike Bartel. Come on, everybody. Say what's up. Love you, man.
Good morning. Man, I'm so excited to be able to come back to you guys, give a report. I want to say a big thank you And shout out for my family. They're back in Vegas this morning. Man, if you've been here for any length of time in this church, this has been really our church away from home. You guys have been a huge blessing and partner, not only to our team, but to our family. Man, my son's getting married next month. It's crazy to think of. My daughter's graduating from high school, starting college soon. My wife and I just celebrated 30 years of marriage, and a big chunk of all that, yeah. You guys have seen and been a part of, and so thank you guys. This has been a huge church for us, blessing our family and being a partner in ministry, and we love it. So I'm going to give you an awesome update. And, you know, we were looking at, this is the 20th year my wife and I have been involved full-time working with issues of human trafficking. We started in Southern Asia, India primarily, and then when we would come back and tell those stories about what was going on in India, people in the churches like yours, people from this church are like, what can we do? What can we put our hands to? We want to be a part of this. We want to do something about this. And that was the start of Free International back in 2007. And if you don't know what Free International stands for, FREE is our acronym. It stands for Find, Restore, Embrace, and Empower. Our focus has been to be the best practitioner missions organization we can be, but you can't do that without the local church. We really believe philosophically that it is the church, capital C, and in a pragmatic way, the local church, that is God's chosen agency to reach this world, small and great alike. Whether that's a CEO in New York City high rise or one of the ladies in the legal brothels of Nevada, he has called his church out of darkness into light to be light to this world. And so we've tried to be faithful to that calling and not just be a standalone not-for-profit, but a place where the church and missions can partner to reach this world together. And you guys have been a part of it. How many here have gone to Las Vegas and worked with us? Awesome. Well, you just heard you guys take missions trips every year all over the place. Next time, I want to see you all in Vegas. We're going to impact that city for the glory of God. It needs Jesus. When I lived in India, the people of India would talk about Las Vegas and what was going on there. It has a global reputation for human trafficking and all those type of evils. But you know, it's not just in Vegas. We got a team all over this country. We recently launched a Shepherd's Task Force where we have not-for-profit leaders, law enforcement agencies, retired and current military, churches from all over the country, gathering together in a task force mode to reach those who are vulnerable and being exploited and being trafficked. We have 154 shepherds around the country. And because of that group called Speed the Light, BGMC, they're helping us fund a brand new property where we're going to be training people all over the country from our churches everywhere to be a shepherd, to search for the one who is being exploited. We're very excited for that because when we say, what can we do? We can give you the tools and resources to be able to do that. Want to flip the story around a little bit in scripture where it talks about the shepherd who left the 99 in safe pastures to go find the one. What we want to do as sheep ourselves is be able to train and resource and connect the 99 to also be a part of the search for the one, that we might find them, but also see them restored. This year alone, we've been able to find 54 who are being exploited for the glory of God. We've done two big searches, 31 kids found during those big searches. We've been doing big searches since 2009, which started as a Super Bowl outreach. We did every Super Bowl. We started doing 4 to 5 big searches a year in this country where we go and get the top 30 list of any city's missing kids. We mobilize the church, partner with law enforcement, social work agencies to find those kids. We found 16 out of 30 in Vegas, and 2 weeks ago we found 15 out of 18 in Pensacola, Florida. And people go, how do you find so many kids? Well, the simple answer is we were looking for them, right? You can't find what you're not looking for. So how an engaged church like yours can impact the vulnerable and exploited right here in Tennessee is huge. And next year, we're going to be doing a big search in Nashville, Tennessee. We're excited to have all you guys involved with that. But God's been doing amazing things. Our team has been growing. We're launching 3 new cities in this country this year that are all going to be free international based, Minneapolis, and in Florida, and in Kansas. God is growing the team, right? And we continue to see what God can do as we are faithful to the mission he has placed in front of us and obedient to being the church and missions organizations working together to find the one who is being exploited and see their lives restored. In the last year, we've seen 7 girls get baptized for the glory of God. I had a federal law enforcement agent after our last big search come to know the Lord, has been baptized, wants to impact this world for his glory now. You can't do that unless you're engaged. This is an engaged church. I want to thank you guys for being involved with Free International. I want to thank you for being such a huge blessing to our team. We have great resources coming our way because God says, as you're faithful with the little, he will give you much. And we're excited for the much because the much includes a room like this. It includes an engaged church. It includes wonderful stories of what God is doing to find the exploited, to see them restored for the glory of God. Thank you for being a partner with us. We're going to keep doing it until everyone is free.
Hang on a second. Man, aren't you glad we get to be a part of something like this, everybody? Come on now. Man. So Mike, I just want to ask you, like, as long as we've been friends, you know, I've always talked about Free International, and as a pastor, people ask the question, like, okay, so what do you mean by human trafficking, and is that really a big deal in America? And I think people don't really understand what it is and how big of a problem it is here. Can you talk to that for just a little bit?
You know, I wish it wasn't a big deal. You know, I grew up a pastor's kid, a church planter. That's where I believe God was leading us and calling us. And you know, when we saw the need, the high level of vulnerability, really human trafficking at its core, not to diminish what it is, but ultimately it's the exploitation of vulnerability for commercial gain, whether that's sex, labor, whatever it might be. We have a high number of people on ongoing, especially, you know, as the economy's gotten worse, as COVID has happened, child abuse in the homes, domestic abuse in the homes, causing people to hit the streets. And when they hit the streets, the vulnerability increases, predators are there to take advantage of that. And to us, that's at least one area where the church needs to be, and so yeah, we try to do that.
We can't bury our head in the sand about this issue. It's a very lucrative industry, unfortunately, only beat out by what, the drug and illegal arms?
The second largest criminal enterprise in the world economically.
And growing. You know, you sell a bag of dope and it's used and gone. You can sell a person over and over and over again, which is why it's a horrific issue. It's actually it suggests that there are more slaves today than ever in the history of the world combined. Isn't that correct?
That's right.
And the U.S. has a very high rate of human trafficking, forced prostitution, sexual slavery, even indentured servitude or work slavery. And it's a major issue. But some people think, well, it's just runaway teenagers. It's just kids that have left. That may be the case. But what happens? What's the process for them very often of exploitation that we're fighting?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the kids we end up searching for, even around the big searches, are system kids, right? There's no stability in their life, or they run because there is exploitation in the home. And the predators are just sitting there waiting for them, maybe even had a relationship with them already online, right? So that when that tie is cut, they become their daddy. They become the person that can bring stability into their life. And this whole grooming process that might even predate that pimp now benefits the pimp, and he takes advantage of that situation.
So we're talking millions of people exploited around the world. In the U.S., it's over a million as well. I mean, I don't know the exact stats.
It's hard to even know numbers, but you know, anywhere there's vulnerability, there's increased
and it's everywhere.
Likelihood, and it's everywhere.
It's not just in big cities. It's
not
in Clarksville.
Just in Vegas. It's in Tennessee.
Yep.
In fact, some of our missionaries on our team live in Mississippi, and there's a huge amount of human trafficking there, but it's all familial. It's a lot of family exploiting family members there. So it looks different wherever it's at, but it's the same level of exploitation.
often when you think about the work they do, I want to encourage all of you to get their website, freeinternational.org, and then also Google the TIP report, Trafficking in Persons report. It's a free annual report put out by the federal government, and it is staggering and alarming, the gravity of this issue. And like anything else we do to help fight global hunger or clean water, we can't do everything, but we can do something. And whenever we think about praying for our missionaries, I want you to pray for Mike and Denise and their family, but I also want you to think about your own kids. I want you to think about your own family and go, man, what would I do to find my kid? And that's how we want to treat these kids. It is a lot of minors. It's also women, particularly in forced prostitution and sexual slavery as well. But I just want to thank you on behalf of our church, man. We love you and have been, you're one of the first guys that we ever brought on once we could bring on missionaries. I remember, and he's been my friend since before we came here. And he's one of the guys that prays for us all the time. I get texts from him still. He loves his church. He means that when he says it. And so I just want you to know from your giving, we gave a $10,000 check this morning to Mike just for being here. He wasn't even planning on coming. But that is, that's just something we could do today. He told me, I'm gonna be in Gatlinburg. I wanna come worship with you. I was like, no, you're gonna come tell our church how you're doing. That's what you're doing. You ain't coming to just sit and receive. So we cut him a check this morning, but also that's for him and his ministry and his family. But also, I just wanna encourage you, we receive tithes here regularly. I wanna encourage you though, if God is stirring something in you right now, what can I do? All of you can pray. All of you can pray for their work and for victims of trafficking, and all of you can do research. All of you could consider going on a trip with us, going to Vegas. You don't even need LifePoint to do this. He'll take your number and he will invite you. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's plenty to do. But I wanna ask all of you to stretch out on this area too. Would you consider giving a gift? And you guys know, if you've been around here, I never do these special offerings on Sundays. But I just believe the Lord wanted me to do this for him and for Free International. So we have set a place on our website this week in our giving portal. When you click on the giving tab, you can give the tithes and offerings, the building campaign. And this week you can give to Free International and pray about it. Ask the Lord, God, would you have me give specifically to Free International? And then whatever God tells you to do, do that. And 100% of what you give, we give out of our tithe to the church, to missionaries and whatnot. But 100% of anything that you would give today or this week will go directly to the work they're trying to do. And they do have a $75,000 project in front of them right now. We would love to help close the gap for them. And I know you can do it, LifePoint. So just pray and ask the Lord. Are y'all moved by that at all, everybody? Come on. Hey, do me a favor and put your hands toward Mike. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the work that Mike and his family and their ministry is doing around the world. God, we thank you in Jesus' name for what they're doing in Vegas, in the U.S. And Lord, thank you that it's a partnership with the local church, that God, you have paid the price for these kids and women and people caught up in the system of trafficking. God, we pray for pimps and Johns. We pray for conviction of the Holy Spirit that you change their lives, set them free in Jesus' name, deliver them, take them out of the way. To God be the glory. But Lord, would you help find and rescue and restore and empower and embrace these young people that need it? Lord, thank you that we get to be a part of the great work you're doing through Free International. In Jesus' name, would you bless this ministry over and abundantly in every way they need it? In your name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you guys. We love you, Mike. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you come to church and you hear about stories of things we're doing, but I was just so thankful he was in town. I said, hey, come put a face with the name and let's hear what you're doing. So there's so much more. He could literally talk for hours and hours about this. And so I'd encourage you to check out their website and get plugged in. Hey, well, thanks for being with us today. If you're taking notes, I've titled today's message, I've said yes to Jesus. Now what? It's the Sunday after Easter, everybody. And how many of you know we had a great Easter Sunday? How many of you were blessed last Sunday, everybody? For those of you that sat in the lobby, those of you that sat in overflow rooms, thank you so much for making room. We had so many people. Our church, for the first time ever, had more than 10,000 seats filled, 10,000 people in our churches, in our services all across the place. But here's the thing. We would do it all over again to lift high the name of Jesus and to see people come to faith. Can I hear an amen, everybody? Today is a response day for that. It's Baptism Sunday. If you said yes to Jesus last weekend, we would love for you to be baptized. Just a little recap. Last Sunday, I preached the reality of the resurrection, that Jesus had to die for our sins in order to resurrect. There is no resurrection without death. In my message, I talked about the reality that Jesus died a horrible and undeserved death on a cruel Roman cross, paying the price for our sins, a debt that we owe to God to have our sins paid for and forgiven. He chose to die. He gave his life willingly for us to pay the debt of our sins. Then I said his death on the cross forgives our sins, but his resurrection from the dead is what now gives us new life and changes our life and allows us to live as eternal people. Man, we get the power of God. If you remember, I said, it's the Spirit of God rushed upon the body of Jesus to raise him from the dead. Remember that out of the Bible? We shared that last week in Romans. And listen, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that lives in us, that dwells in us, that walks with us, that is among us at all times. And we get to live in the power of God. We get to walk a new life. We get to live in victory every day and overcome our flesh and sin because we serve a resurrected Jesus. I feel like I'm preaching my Easter message all over again and y'all are just looking at me. That's okay, I'm excited. And then I ended my Easter message with a truth that we get to live a different life. We get to live a new life. It's because of what God's done for us. We go, okay, Lord, how do you want me to live now? What a privilege that we get to live for the Lord. Can I hear an amen, everybody? How many of you remember the old hymn? Jesus paid it all. So what? All to him I owe, right? Don't sing the rest because I can't remember the words right now. He washed me white as snow. There we go. All right. Well, we did it anyway. So I've said yes to Jesus. Now what? What does God want from me now? What does God expect of me now? Does he call me to missions? Does he call me to Vegas? Does he call me to pastor? Does he call me to a life of full devotion? What's my next move? What is this new way of life because of the work of God in me? What is it? What is it? How do I discover what God wants from me? How many of you know when you start a new job, there's always an orientation? Okay, did you guys have regular jobs? I mean, I'm just saying. When we hire new staff at LifePoint, we have a whole onboarding process. There's a day or two that helps explain our HR policies, our vacation requests, how to request time off, what are the benefits of working here? We have insurance benefits available to you, and then we have expectations of office hours and how to dress when you come to work. How many of you know when you join the Army, you gotta show up to some stuff. You gotta get your hair cut. You get a buzz cut. You go to basic training. You learn how to field dress a weapon. Like once you join a thing, then there's a now what? But I believe that when the gospel's presented, we need to have some next steps as a new Christian. When we become a follower of Jesus, and for many of us, we are Christians in that we believe in the Lord, but maybe we haven't taken some next steps as well. All of us are gonna be challenged today in taking some next steps with the Lord. When the gospel's presented, it's powerful. Man, it changes lives. How many of you know it's the best news ever? It changes you, but watch this. It demands a change for you, but it also demands a change of you. The gospel's not just some static thing that we receive and we go, okay, this is nice, and then we put it on a shelf and hang on till we die and go to heaven. There's a new life that comes with giving your heart and life to Jesus. The gospel is the free gift of God. It's God's gift to all people to receive freely by faith, and we receive it through the grace of God. But that gift, once received, demands change. It's like an education. Once you receive an education, you got to do something with it. It's like a marriage. Once you receive your bride and you receive a married life, or you receive your husband, now you got to live life like you're married. This is an easy amen. You could have shouted that one down anytime. Squeeze the hand of your boo. Come on, say amen. That's right. So that's what I want us to talk about today. It's the now what? Because I would be remiss if all we did was celebrate people raising their hands to say yes to Jesus and not lowering their lives to live for Jesus. That's the now what. Let me back up a little bit and just kind of help us, not only with what happened last week, but I want us to help us as we share the gospel with other people. For you to receive the gospel, listen, there's actually a simple formula. If you study like evangelism, how to share your faith, there's some tactics or some formulas that people have used for years. One is like the Romans road. You can walk through verses of the book of Romans to see everyone's a sinner, everybody needs salvation. It's a free gift of God, confess your sin. There's also this ABCs of salvation. Anybody ever heard that before? It's a little acrostic. It's the ABCs of salvation. And I want to show you those because I think they're really valuable today. The ABC, first of all, A is acknowledge. The very first thing, if you're going to receive the gospel, is you got to acknowledge that you need it. That means you've heard the gospel. It's been clearly presented. And you go, wow, I am a sinner in need of salvation. I acknowledge by faith, I'm going to receive this message. And I acknowledge that God loves me, that I need salvation. And listen, God's the one who brings that awareness to our heart anyway. You didn't come up with this. This is not our idea. It's the Lord motivating and drawing people. And when we are moved by the Spirit, when we're moved by his gospel, we acknowledge, man, I need this message. Romans chapter 3 says it like this, verse 23. There's no distinction among people. Here's what he says. Everybody has sinned. Everybody say, everybody. Put a little salt on it. Everybody say, everybody, all right? Everybody has sinned and everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. What does that mean? No one's exempt from what I'm about to tell you. There's nobody that's good enough, kind enough, nice enough, grew up in a good enough religious tradition or in grandmama's home well enough and was kind enough to their parents that they skipped this. Everyone has sinned and everyone on the planet is short of the glory of God. They'll never receive salvation. And there's no distinction. There's no out on here. There's no group that's exempt from this. Everyone has sinned. Everyone's fallen short of the glory of God. And implied here is everyone is justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul is saying. Everyone needs this gospel. Everyone won't measure up. Everyone can only find salvation through Jesus Christ. And it's God's gift to us. Aren't you thankful? No one on earth is exempt from this. And everyone needs this gospel. Everyone needs to hear this. Everyone's on the hook for sin. And when we hear this gospel, that God, look at the verse again. He is justifying us by his grace as a gift. You go, God, why would you want to change me? Why would you want to save me? Because he goes, because I'm a gift giver and I'm a good God and I love you. Did we deserve his salvation? Did we earn his salvation? Are we worthy of his salvation? It's a gift of God's grace to us. And man, when we hear that, we acknowledge, wow, that's true, and I need that. And then Paul says to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 2, he says, first of all, I urge supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all people. How many of you know it's good to pray for everybody? Especially, he goes on and said, for kings and all in high positions that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified. This is a little other sermon here. Let me tell you something. If you want a life of more peace and more dignity and more godliness, you need to pray for those who lead in your life. You need to pray kids for your parents. You need to pray for your bosses, your management. You need to pray for local officials. Pray for your pastor. Pray for presidents and everyone in between. He says, it is good to pray. Then he goes on in verse 3 to say, this is good and pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior. Look at this. Who God desires all people. Everybody say all people. God who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he's very clear here. There's one God, and then there's one mediator between God and men, one go-between. That is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself to pay the ransom for everybody. So we have to acknowledge that this is true. We first A of the ABC, we acknowledge, man, this is a great gift. This is a free gift of God, and I need it because I'm a sinner, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Once you've acknowledged that it's true, then you believe it. The ABC, right? You're tracking with me. The second letter of the acrostic is B, to believe. We must believe what we hear of this gospel. To believe, according to the New Testament words, it's so fully convinced that it changes the way you live your life. Very often, we have now cheapened the word believe as if it's something I just mentally agree with. Like, I believe in Abraham Lincoln, but how many of you know I don't wear a top hat and shave my mustache off my beard? Right? Like many of us, though, when we believe in something passionately, we throw our weight behind it, a political candidate. We believe in some way of eating or some diet system, or we believe in some stock that we're gonna like empty our retirement and throw it all in. And that's the way belief is in the New Testament when it comes to Jesus, that we are so convinced of this thing that we will throw our entire life behind it. In fact, John 3:16, God's the most famous verse of the Bible, Jesus said, God so loves this world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes, fully convinced, so dependent on, that they'll wreck and change their lives over this, whoever believes at that level will not perish, but have everlasting life. And listen, that is God's call for every person. What is it that we believe? We believe the gospel that we heard last week, right? We believe the story. This is the big picture of the Bible. If I had to like boil it down into a little phrase on the screen, it's God created everything from nothing. It was perfect. Mankind fell into sin. God says, I'm gonna redeem that. I'm gonna restore it. It's like what Free International does. They're redeeming the lives of brokenness and restoring that back. And then we're living a life that's restored. So creation, fall, redemption, restoration. That's the big picture story of the Bible. God created everything perfectly. We fell. God says, I'm gonna redeem it. I'm gonna put it back right. And then for those that have found redemption in Christ, we can live a restored relationship to the God that created us to have that in the first place. Do we believe that, everybody? So we believe it and we're so convinced of it. Watch this, that letter C, then we confess it. And confession is such a big deal. How many of you have ever had to like confess something really hard and it changes your life? Like it impacts you in a major way. Confession is not just some flippant thing. Confession is from the depths of who you are, you make statements and you declare publicly some things. Romans 10 says it like this. Because if you confess with your mouth, now listen, Jesus, when he talked about speaking, he said, you speak from the overflow of your heart. What you truly value, believe, what's true at the core of you will come out in your words. How many of you know you get to know somebody, just listen to them. You wanna get to know somebody well, just let them talk a while. Because what's in you will come out of you, out of your heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Mark 7, he said, it's not what goes in a person that defiles him, it's what comes out of him that defiles him, right? And that's where we speak and we think and we talk and we do things. Paul's saying here, if you confess with your mouth, think of the world he lived in the Roman Empire with Caesar as king and God. And Paul's saying, if you will confess, verbally go public, that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. That's an affront to the system. That's an affront to the kingdom. That's saying, I believe in Jesus more than the White House. That's saying, I believe in Jesus more than Caesar. I believe in Jesus more than this economy. I confess Christ is Lord, not me. And you confess with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord of my life. And you believe, convinced, convicted in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He's not just a good guy who died on a cross. He raised from the dead as God forevermore. You believe in your heart that that's true. Look at this. You'll be saved. Confession is a part of this thing that we're doing. For with your heart, you believe you're justified before God. And with your mouth, you confess and you're saved. The scripture says everyone who believes in him won't be put to shame. So here it is. Look, this ABC, we acknowledge, I need a savior. I'm a sinner. I'm far from God. I can't do it myself. So then I believe this gospel and I believe it's true. And then I confess my life. I confess myself to God. I confess publicly, Jesus is Lord of my life. And listen, you've done that. That was what we focused on Easter weekend. That's what we focus a lot on Sundays here. But then what? And I'm afraid in the American church world, we've left it there. Raise your hand, say yes to Jesus. All right, we'll see you next week. Make sure you come to church and start doing the behaviors. Listen, there has to be a now what? There has to be a letter D, which is do what God says. So A, I acknowledge, B, I believe, C, I confess. Now D, I'm gonna do the things God says. How many of you think it's better to live God's way than our way? How many of you think it's better to live God's way than the world's way? It's better to live God's way than the culture's way. Can I hear an amen? So this is now the life we live because Jesus gives us new life. And man, we should want this. We should desire this. Look, I'll never forget when God saved me, oh my goodness, I couldn't wait to figure out how to do this now. It's like starting a new job. It's like starting a new relationship. I can't wait to figure you out and get to be friends and get to hear what you love and what you like. It's starting a new career and going, wow, I got this thing and I'm gonna figure it out. I'm gonna be the best I can be at it. But with Christianity, a lot of times we go, it's fire insurance. I bought the policy. Now I'm gonna go do what I want. But you cannot possibly live a life of disobedience and claim to have faith in the God that you're disobeying. Wow, thank you for that reaction. First service kind of blinked at me a little bit. There. It's a free gift, but now we have responsibility with that gift. We helped our daughter get a car when she turned 16, which by the way, I encourage you, make them pay for half of it, put some skin in the game, and you get as much as you're willing to work for and raise up for, right? So we helped her get a car, and then we helped her get her license. Then we talked about insurance. Then we taught her how to drive. Then we set her free with a ton of responsibilities and expectations. It's not just a free gift without responsibility. The same is true with our gospel. Listen, you didn't earn it, but now that you have it, you gotta live with it and you live out of it. You live a life of obedience. And I'm afraid we've preached the gospel of belief without following. Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls that cheap grace. It's a life of salvation without discipline. It's a life of salvation without discipleship. Let me just take you to the letter of James, the brother of Jesus Christ, who writes it like this in James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. He said, what good is it, my brother, if somebody says he has faith in God but doesn't have works with God? He doesn't have a life of obedience to God. Can that faith save him? In other words, if you say, I believe in Jesus, but you live like hell, is that a saving faith? He gives an example. If some brother or sister is poorly clothed, lacking in daily food, and one of you says, well, go in peace, be warm and filled. In other words, we go, hey, I'll pray for you. God bless you. Get out of here. I'm eating in the warmth. But you stay hungry and cold. He says, if you say, go in peace, be warm and filled, that sounds like a real faith answer, right? Well, God bless you, brother. But you send them on without meeting their needs. He said, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it doesn't have obedience and works and a life of connection, it's dead faith. He doesn't even call it inadequate or less faith. He says it's dead. It's not even alive. Look at this on the screen, verse 18. Some of you will say, well, you have faith And I have works. This is kind of a religious debate that still rages on today. Some people want to deem their holiness based on their life versus another person's life. James is saying, you have faith and I have works. James gives commentary to that. He said, you show me your faith apart from your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. So I'm full of faith and it's shown in how I live. You can't tell me, I believe in God, I love Jesus with all my heart, but I don't live like it. It's like joining the army wearing Navy clothes to work. Y'all hear what I'm saying, everybody? Come on, where are my army soldiers at, y'all? I live for Jesus, but I believe in Jesus, but I live like hell. I live like me. How can we say yes to Christ and continue in the life we lived in before Jesus? So A, I acknowledge I need him. B, I believe. C, I confess. D, now I want to live a life of doing what he says. And that's where I want to spend the rest of our time together today. He ends that whole passage by saying in verse 26, as the body apart from the spirit is a dead body, so also faith apart from works or obedience or a life of accompanying action to this faith is dead faith. One of the challenges in our church world today is it doesn't call us enough to a life of full surrender or obedience to the Lord. And I get it, like in the church world as a pastor, like I live with this tension of I don't want to offend any of you. I don't want to say things that are hard that would force you to leave this church or be like, man, all he ever cares about is our obedience. But on the other side, like I want to apologize that maybe I've not challenged you enough in the areas of obedience of your life. Because I think in the modern church world, we're afraid of offending people or losing membership. Can I tell you something? Like the greatest thing we can do is go all in with Jesus, even if it costs us everything. This is the life of a Christian, not just preachers and missionaries and ministers. Christians are invited to follow Jesus completely. It's all over the Bible. There's never a place in scripture where God gives a pass and go, well, you live half-heartedly, you give me 20%, and you just do as much as you're comfortable with, as long as you're not offended because, hey, I'm God and I don't want to offend you. Never in the Bible. We give Jesus our whole lives. He owns it all. He owns my family, my career. He died for me, so I live for him. Are y'all hearing me, everybody? Are y'all getting anything out of this? I feel like I'm shouting. That's okay. I'm having a good time. So we give the Lord our family, our careers, our money, our time, our Sundays. One of the best ways to know if you're really walking out this faith is evaluate your obedience to God. This is how I want to wrap up our time today. Because we've actually structured our church here in a way to help you get this right. If you're new with us, maybe you came on Easter and you're new to Jesus and you're new to our church, this is what we focus on with everything we do as a team. It's the reason I get out of bed. And I just, like everything we do here is about one thing. We wanna help lead people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. That means in every part of your life. Why? It sounds like this life of devotion without faith in Christ is simply religion. That's not what we want. But because of our faith, we want to live this out in a life of devotion. And everything we do here is about helping you do that. And I want to invite you in this journey with us. We've acknowledged our need for salvation. We believe in this gospel. We've confessed he is Lord of our lives. So now we want to do it God's way. I don't know if you realize this or not, but it's imperative that the church is a part of this. Ephesians 3:10 says it's through the church that the layered, multi-layered, manifold wisdom of God is made known to the world. It's not through other organizations. It's not through some class you take at college on how to live for Jesus. Can I hear an amen, everybody? It's through the church. The ways of God and the wisdom of God is to be made known to this world. So let me help you know who we are, what's next for you. And I've taken some of this from my pastor, Pastor Chris Hodges in Highlands in Birmingham. In the Bible, cover to cover, God has basically wanted four things for his people. Most of us don't even realize it, but it's all over the scripture. Religion doesn't teach this. And if you have a wrong view of God, you'll miss it. If all you think is God is this angry taskmaster, you'll never get this. But for many people, the Bible seems complex and hard to read. And that's actually my job, to bring the Bible to you in a way that makes sense and help teach you how to understand the Bible and live it out in your own lives. But as you read God's word, you see this all over the scripture. God wants basically four things for you. The very first thing that God wants for everybody on the planet is that you know God. The first thing God wants before you ever follow God or do for God, he wants you to know him. How many of you know, we believe you can actually have a vibrant, healthy relationship with the Lord of heaven. Christianity is not just joining a church or a denomination. It's certainly not doing religious duties. It means you can have a real, dynamic, life-giving, healthy relationship with the God of heaven. You can have a prayer life. You can hear God's voice. You can grow in intimacy with him. It's the reason we do everything first is to help you know God. It's why we made room for 11 full and overflowing services on Easter because we want to help people have a real dynamic relationship with the God of heaven, and we want people to enjoy knowing God. It's a primary focus of our Sunday experience, to help you know God. It's the reason we preach the way we do and lead worship the way we do, give you opportunities to serve, how we teach your kids. By the way, that's the ABC part that we're always recycling every Sunday. We want to help you know God. Acknowledge, believe, confess. Acknowledge, believe, confess. Acknowledge, believe, confess. We want our lives to be lives of people who know God. Then after that's letter D. Do what God says. By the way, we're going to get through all 26 letters of the alphabet still. I've still got E through Z, so buckle up. That's a joke. Second thing we want to help you on this journey after you know God is we want to help you find freedom. Once you've got that relationship with God, you need to understand this. You actually receive God's power on the inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And that power of God in your life helps you start to tackle the areas of life that you don't even like. A lot of people think, well, if I give my life to God, he's gonna mess with all the areas I like. He's gonna take my money, mess with my fun, break up my relationships. God's gonna start dealing in the areas of lordship in your life, and he's gonna start messing with the areas that you don't even like. God's gonna bring some healing to some areas of baggage and pain and some yesterdays that you've just avoided and buried and put in the sand. You want them out of your life too. You and I know there are some places in our lives that if we didn't have them in our lives would be a lot better. Can I hear an amen? And we wanna help you find freedom from your yesterdays, and God does too. Listen, it's a better life to do this life with Jesus and to let him help you find freedom. So we wanna help you know God. We do that through our Sunday experience especially. Then we wanna help you find freedom, and the best way we know how to do that is by getting you connected to small groups. Small groups in the smaller environment allows you to walk through the nitty gritty and the hard stuff. I'm old school. Like, I remember prayer services on Sunday nights. Come on, y'all remember Sunday night service, everybody. That's where we lingered and we labored in the altar, man. We got the oil out. Y'all hear what I'm saying, everybody? The bad keyboard player showed up because they had to play for an hour while we prayed and tarried and waited. Somebody fell out. Somebody did. Like, we met with God. And for many of us, we think if I don't have a deliverance service, I'm not gonna be set free. But I think deliverance happens and freedom happens in the context of relationships. Very often in my life, it's been over time in small groups. We wanna help you know God. We wanna help you find freedom. And then we wanna help you, after you settle your yesterdays and you're working on that, we wanna help you discover your purpose. Mark Twain said, the two greatest days of our lives are the days we're born and the day we discover why we're born. Well, guess what? The only one who knows the answer to why you were born is God, the one who created you. And we wanna help you discover this. This is why I love what we get to do as a church. We just relaunched our Growth Track class. That is the best avenue that we have figured out to help you in a short season, like get into a position where you can start discovering some things God has put in your life. Did you know that the Lord knows every part of you? God is not surprised by anything in you. And there are some things that God has hardwired you with and put in you that he can use for his glory. And we want to help you discover what those things are. So our three-week Growth Track class is designed to bring you into relationship to the church, but also help you discover the reason God built you and made you. Listen, your college degree, your job, your money, all these things that you're doing, they won't give you purpose. Only God can show you why he formed you and put purpose behind all the other things that you're doing. So we want to know God. We want to find freedom in our groups. We want to discover God's purpose for our lives so that we can do the last thing, which is what makes everybody feel fulfilled. We want to make a difference in the lives of other people. And we start there with our dream team. We want to help people make a difference in the lives of others in their churches. But I'm here to tell you, secular sociologists have proven the happiest people, the most content and satisfied people on the earth are those who are touching the lives of others in an impactful way. And again, we want to take you on this journey. And listen, serving on a team is training you to serve in your company, in your office, on post, with your family, in your neighborhood. Like, when you have discovered, man, God has gifted me with hospitality. I love being the neighbor who hosts the 4th of July picnic. Or God's gifted me with generosity. I love being the one who helps close the gap on missions opportunities like with Free International. God's gifted me with creativity. I love that I get to serve in my church with helping with sermon writing and songwriting. But I also get to help my company reevaluate and vision for the future. I get to be used in my gifts to make a difference in the lives of other people. I'm here to tell you, man, we want to help walk this journey with you. This is the now what. And listen, along the way of this journey, we're going to learn God's word. We're going to learn what God says about giving and sin and relationships and marriage and parenting. We're going to learn what God says as we take this journey together. I just want to invite you along the journey. This is why we exist as a church. We are not just here to get you to raise your hands and get saved. We exist to take you on a journey to know God, to find freedom, to discover your purpose so that you can make a difference. That's why we show up. And here's what I want to tell you. If you're new to our church, then it's a blank slate for you. Come on the journey. If you've been around this church for a while and you've only taken step one, look at me. Look at me. I'm going to be your pastor, hard man for a second. You're not really fully a part of this church yet. I want to invite you to get off the bench and get on this journey with us. And some of you would say, well, I've done those things. I was in a small group for a while. I served on a team and I'm taking a break. Break's over. I don't know what kind of break you're, I don't know if you're waiting on Coach Jesus to come down and blow the whistle and say, hey, you're back in. I can't, like, I've never attended a church I didn't serve in. I've never attended a church where we weren't in a small group, never. I never went to church and just took from the pastor and didn't give financially to the thing. I just never, but we wanna take you on a journey there. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to call you forward. Get off the bench, let's go church, folks. Now, if you're new, welcome. We got some lazy folks around here. We're working on them too. But if you're new, clean slate, come on, eyes wide open, this is gonna be great. I don't even know how to come back from what I just said. Here's the invitation, you ready? Give us a year of your life and try it. Just give us a year. How many of you think a year of God's way is better than a year of our way? Can you just give God a year? Just give God a year and try it. What do you have to lose? If you come back a year from now and go, man, I came to church faithfully. I got in a small group. I went to Growth Track, discovered my purpose. And I'm serving people gladly with joy in my heart. And you come back and go, and my life is worse for it. Then I'll repent before the whole church and say, I thought it would work and it doesn't. But I dare you to dare God, give it a year. You know what I found is we've got hundreds of people that have taken this simple journey with us and they found fulfillment. They found now what makes sense. Their life makes more sense under Christ. Can I hear an amen from anybody that's walked this journey with us? So I've said yes to Jesus, now what? Now let's do what he says. And all over the scripture, he says, I want you to know God. I want you to find freedom. I want you to discover purpose. I want you to make a difference. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would compel us forward. God, whether we're brand new or we've been here a long time, God, I pray that each of us would take the step that you're calling us to. God, we wanna do what you have said. And Lord, more than behaving, we wanna belong appropriately. We wanna come near you. God, for some of us, that next step today is to be water baptized. That's a simple next step. God, for some of us, that next step is to go upstairs, leave kids in Kid Point, and go to our Growth Track class. Brand new material, get in that class, and get a part of the team. God, for some of us, Lord, it's to repent of sin. It's to obey the things that you've called us to obey in. Lord, whatever our next step is, God, we say we want to do what God says. So Lord, would you help us take this journey with you? Would you help us submit our lives to Jesus Christ? Submit our lives, not just eternal afterlife, but this life, that it would belong to Jesus. Come on, everybody pray this with me. I wanna invite you, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, if you've never surrendered to this gospel, that you would do that first and foremost. And then everyone else in this church, like you know kind of how you're doing compared to that verse in James. You got faith, do you have works that look like your faith? Are you living in obedience? Are you walking with the Lord faithfully? I want everybody else to do some real inventory there and then give all of that back to God. Say, God, I want to realign myself into obedience with you. First of all, let's pray for those who are saying yes to Jesus. And second, for those who are recommitting and realigning their lives to Jesus. Come on, let's pray together. Say, Lord, I believe in Jesus, the Son of the living God, who gave his life on a cross to pay for my sin and raised from the dead to give me new life. Say, I acknowledge I need a Savior. I believe the gospel is true. Say, I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my whole life, and say, God, I'm all in. Now I wanna do what you've called me to do. I wanna know you. I wanna find freedom. I wanna walk in new life all the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Say, Lord, use me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Call me forward into the things of God, and I will do what you've called me to do in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody. Amen.
We're so happy that you joined us today. We hope that you've been inspired and challenged by today's message. If you'd like to grow in your walk with Jesus, stay connected, or partner with us through generosity, be sure to visit our website at lifepointchurch.tv. We hope that you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday.